Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Our word or not.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Just days after President Bush said the economy wasn't in a recession, just growing slowly, the National Conference of State Legislatures has issued a report. It says, regardless of what's happening on the national level, some states appear to be in a recession. 16 states are reporting budget shortfalls for this fiscal year, totaling at least $11 billion. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
States are being battered on a number of fronts. Take housing construction. Purchases of building supplies, furniture, and appliances are down. That means less revenue from sales taxes. Luckily, when times were good, most states created rainy day funds.
It may be raining or starting to rain again.
Bill Pound is the executive director of the National Conference of State Legislatures. Pound says if the rainy day turns into a monsoon, states have two choices.
To cut expenditures even further, and the other is to try to raise revenues.
And we're not just talking taxes. Illinois might sell its lottery. Other states may put toll roads or unclaimed property on the auction block. Joe Hackney is the Speaker of the North Carolina House.
We have not mortgaged our lottery or our roads, but revenues are slowing and we're nervous.
There's good reason to be nervous. Next year, 23 states are expected to face budget deficits totaling more than $26 billion. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Whatever you call what's happening in the economy now, Honda is worried about it. In its quarterly earnings report, it said it's concerned about the effect a downturn is going to have on auto sales in North America down the road. Though Honda's sales are booming, the Japanese automaker's net profit plunged 86% in the last quarter. Blame it on a stronger yen, a soft car market, and a one-time tax charge. Meanwhile, the Nikkei hit a two-month high in Japan today and on Wall Street Thursday. The Dow closed up 85 to 12,848. The Nasdaq closed up 23 to 2428, and the S&P closed up 9 to 1388. A Senate committee voted Thursday to overturn a new FCC rule on media ownership. The rule allows media companies to own both a newspaper and one TV or radio station in the same market, something many critics feel is too much consolidation. Ashley Milne-Tite looks at whether the decision to ditch the rules could have any effect on a certain media mogul's plans.
This is the latest sally in the war over consolidation in the media sector. The FCC is caught between broadcasters who say the rules are too limiting and those who say they go too far. John Egerton of Broadcasting and Cable magazine says it's a frustrating time for media companies considering an acquisition.
The regulatory certainty that broadcasters were seeking in terms of what they could own is not going to be resolved anytime soon.
That's particularly pertinent for Rupert Murdoch. He already owns several media outlets in the New York area. Now he's got his eye on Long Island's main newspaper.
What does come into play is if he buys Newsday, because if he buys Newsday, he has two TV stations in New York, and it would seem that they would need a waiver of FCC rules in order to be able to do that.
But Murdoch probably doesn't need to worry. Even if the House, like the Senate, votes to overturn the FCC's rules, Egerton says the administration is likely to veto their decision. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. By Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value.
We all know that romance doesn't come cheap. Then, of course, there's marriage. As gender roles have melded together over the past 40 years, so has the balance of power in the household. Frank Stafford is an economist at the University of Michigan. He studied that essential ingredient in every home, housework.
Well, the new finding actually is we look back to 1996, where we had single women, single men living on their own, had never been married before. And then as you go forward 10 years to 2005, some of the women had gotten married, and their housework went up from about 9.5 hours a week to 16 hours a week. But what's different is if you look at the young men, the bachelors had gotten married, their housework actually went up by about 2.5 hours.
So to be fair, married men are doing more housework than they were before. It's just still not on par with women.
That's right. Way, way back, 40 years ago, for married women, housework was truly their occupation. They were putting in 40 hours a week doing housework. Today, it's probably down to 20, 25 hours a week, which is still a lot.
Inequity seems to start early because you've studied the chores and kids, and it looks like the boys get money for the chores more than girls do, and yet girls still do more of the housework.
Yeah, that's actually a pattern that's pretty intriguing. And what's interesting, as you just mentioned, the girls aren't told to do the housework. They aren't specifically said, well, if you don't do housework, you're not going to get paid. But yet they do. So it's you don't have to make an explicit arrangement to convince your teenage daughter to do more housework compared to your teenage son.
Most of the men who've been hearing me talk about doing this interview with you just deny that this could possibly be the case in their household. Have you anecdotally noticed that as well?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a bias. Men tend to report more housework hours than they do when you get a better measure of their housework. But the other thing that is important when I'm talking about the housework that I've been talking about is called core housework.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a broader definition, core housework plus doing the lawn, fixing the car, home projects, men's hours per week more or less double from an hour a day to 2 hours a day.
Right.
But the only point that's important there is that most people enjoy gardening and yard work, whereas washing dishes and doing the everyday, is no one rates that as a highly enjoyed activity.
Frank Stafford is an economist with the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.